What should be the next one? Turnip Boy has a private plane and flies people into his private island.
I was going to say. Turnip Boy turns up on Epstein's island.
That's awesome. Turned up for what? Happy belated new year, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Allied Rebels podcast, a show about video games, movies, pop culture, and game reports. I'm Roxy, and joining me today is Nico.
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo está? Mi Bien. Nico.
¿cómo está?
Bien. We are doing good this year. I know, I think technically you're not supposed to say Happy New Year after like the third day, but you know.
We make our own rules.
Yeah, I like that. So today we are doing a game report for the games that are coming out in January. It's a little late. We're halfway through the month, but you know, there's some cool games coming out, so.
Pretty excited.
Okay, so let's start with some quick updates with what's new with us.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. So I got a new Steam Deck, which Nico donated to me, basically.
Yeah, so you can enjoy all of those lovely Steam games and, you know, especially since we're talking about some new games coming up.
Yeah, there's kind of good on the Steam Deck. I was gonna say there's some that I could definitely see playing on the Steam Deck. I feel weird saying like you donated it to me. You didn't. Well, you just gave it to me.
Yeah, yeah. You can say donated. The charity case.
I'm a charity. Yeah. But anyway, so you got me a really cool game. It's called Cozy Grove. And I really like it. It's really cute. It's kind of like Animal Crossing meets Cult of Lamb. There's a little bit of wholesomeness and a little bit of spoopy, but it's really cute.
Like, probably not as
dark
as Cult of Lamb, but
it's got not,
like
but...
more of a toned down, maybe gothic-y.
Yeah, kind of a little gothy, spooky, kind of but like... really, really cute.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like spooky kawaii.
Yes.
So I really like it. It's really, really cute. And yeah, we tried playing Dead Island on there. I actually did like it. I thought it actually worked.
Yeah, it runs surprisingly well. And, you know, it has the Xbox controls.
Yeah.
We've been mostly playing it on the PC.
Yeah.
And the Xbox controls, that's what I originally played it on was the
same.
Xbox.
So. Yeah, same.
It's kind of cool. The only thing with me is when it comes to first-person games, I'm just going to be that PC person. It's always better for me with mouse and keyboard because if I'm trying to aim with a joystick, it's just not as good for me. Mm-hmm. I have to have that precision movement that a mouse gives you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I definitely like it better on the PC, and we actually played some last night, and I still had the settings from when I played on the Steam Deck, so I was like, wait, I was sitting there getting mauled by one of the infected, and I'm trying to switch the controls, so that was fun. But yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to play all these different games. I did try to play, or I installed the Roller Coaster Tycoon onto a Steam Deck, and I tried it, but unfortunately, it looks like it's not going to work well on there. So I'm kind of bummed out about that. But.
Yeah, there's a fix that you can do. The problem is that it only takes up maybe half the screen on the Steam Deck.
It's about a three-quarters.
Three-quarters of the screen.
Still, yeah.
And it's a smaller screen anyway, and to read that kind of text when it only takes up three-quarters, it seems like it's a scaling issue. And like I said, people came up with a way to optimize it. But
yeah.
I mean, I think it would run pretty okay on a Steam Deck. But with those kind of point and click games, that's another one where I do actually like the PC because it's just that mouse. The mouse with point and click games is better for me. And that was even the case with the Sims games on consoles versus PC. I had the Sims 2 for PlayStation 2, and it was okay, but I still just loved the PC version
better.
Yeah,
after playing it on the PC, definitely agree with you. I think it's definitely better on there. But yeah, I am loving the Steam Deck. I'm definitely going to eventually deck it out.
Yes.
Get it?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a new skin for it. It'll be really cool. So, yeah. We also came back from the Chicago trip. It was really fun. Some really awesome, exciting news. I'm engaged now.
Yeah, somebody got a nice Christmas present. Actually, both of us got a nice Christmas present.
Yeah.
Or presents.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, it was pretty cool. And, you know, it was a long time coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a really cool Zelda engagement ring. So that was really awesome. Yeah,
and she was so tired of waiting for me to propose that she had her own ring ready for me. So after I proposed, she's like, well, I got something for you.
Yeah.
And she pulled it out of her bag. And it was this really cool ring that's whiskey barrel wood and a guitar string going through the center of it. And it's just, it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. And I love mine too. So Nico's my fiance. Yeah. But it was just awesome. It was a blast. The weather, it didn't snow, unfortunately. We really wanted it to. But, you know, it was still really nice. It was like in the 40s, 50s even at points.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. So. The only part that was kind of cool but not at the same time was when we got there, it was really foggy. And we were actually in a hotel that had a city view. And you couldn't see any of the buildings. It was just all fog. I mean, I like it in a way because it's kind of got that Silent Hill vibe to it.
Yeah, that's what you say, Silent Hill.
But, you know, if you get a city view hotel room, you kind of want a city view. And it did clear up.
It did clear up.
And it was pretty cool,
especially
at night, seeing all the lights and everything.
It was awesome. It was really cool, too, because, like, right next to our hotel building, there was, you know, these condos, and there was this one nerd playing video games. It was really cool. We're thinking probably like Call of Duty or something.
Yeah, some first-person shooter. I didn't bring out my binoculars and go full crate mode and try to zoom in and maybe see if I can find his number and give him some tips. But
yeah, no, but it was really cool. We're like, oh, that's so awesome. I wish we had that like view. It's so beautiful. But yeah, one day. So, oh, and the really cool thing we did for Christmas Day was kind of like at Christmas Story, we went to Chinatown.
Which was packed.
It was like seriously lit. It was awesome. It was bustling. Everything was open. I had beef chow mein, which I hadn't had chow mein in a long time. It was just so good. I was, oh, I want some so bad.
I know. It was pretty cool. And it was raining on Christmas Day. And they have those narrow alleys and, you know, all these Asian symbols. And it's just cool because to me, walking down, it was night too. You got this neon and you got all this stuff. And it kind of gave me the old school Blade Runner vibes with just the rainy city.
It was rainy and there was like some steam coming throughout from different, you know. I was just, oh, yeah, it was perfect. I loved it.
Yeah, it was cool. We're going to have to go back there maybe again for Christmas because they also had that German festival thing.
Yeah, Christkindl.
Yep.
Yeah, market. Yeah, it was so awesome. We tried to go twice. The first time it was, oh my gosh, beyond packed. Like, literally, I'm not even joking.
It's
No, it was like a rock concert back in the day when I used to go, and that was fun. But that Christkindl was not fun.
Yeah, it's like, not fun because you're not listening to any music. You're just hearing people get more and more frustrated.
Yeah.
And I just, like, those people that just scream in crowds, I get them. They just, I don't know. It was.
I was close to getting that. Like, I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
The second day we went, it was a lot better. It was still really crowded, but definitely we were able to walk around people and stuff. So that was much nicer. We had a German brat with some sauerkraut and some mustard, like German mustard. It was so good.
It was pretty
good. So good. And then we also had some, I had some of that warm Oh gosh, I was forgetting the name.
Gold?
It starts with a G.
Wine?
It was the warm one.
Yeah.
But it was so good. And then you had some really awesome beer. Oh, it was so good.
I wish I could remember what the... I took a picture of it, but I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But it was just this dark German beer. And it was great.
It was so
amazing.
Good. So good, yeah. But anyway, overall, it was just an amazing trip. It was so much fun. Really good memories of it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But what's going on with you, Nico? What's new with you?
Well, so you got my old Steam Deck.
Yep.
I got a new OLED Steam Deck, and I've just been playing the crap out of that. You know, battling my addiction with just buying games and not playing them on Steam.
That's your hobby. It's just buying.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's what we're calling it, the hobby.
Yes.
And, I've been playing it and I just bounce around from one game to another, and I have this intention of I just need to stick to one, get through.
Which this is why I love it so much. Is there's so many things to do in there, so many little side quests.
Yeah.
That you could totally skip over side quests and just do the main quest if you really wanted to rush through the game and just get done with it. But I don't know, that's part of the fun. But,
yeah. Yeah, it's a Bethesda kind of thing for me where it's just a lot of these Bethesda games, you have the main story, but you just got millions of side quests. And I mean, I'm not talking about you, Starfield, but but the side quests, it's just kind of like the games thing where you want to stick to one thing, but then something else pops up. Oh, we got to do this. Something else pops up. Got to do this. And then it's
fun. I'm the person that I just got to do the side quests. Yeah. I cannot move on with the main storyline until all the side quests are done.
Yeah, completionist kind of thing. Yeah,
yes, I have that. So it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the game report for January. Some really cool games that came up, and some of them I'm like, I totally want to get this game. Like the first one, Momodora Moonlit Farewell. It's coming out just on the PC, and it came out January 11th. Join Momo, High Priestess of the Village of Koho, as she embarks on a divine mission to save her people from imminent destruction at the hands of the demon hordes summoned by a malevolent bellringer. This game looks so awesome. I really like the pixel animation.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
It's just that trend of the pixel art now and the 2D thing. It's another roguelike game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the art style is great. It looks fun. It looks interesting. I've never actually heard of this franchise before,
It's
the fifth installment in the Momodora franchise.
Yeah.
And I looked at the previous one. That one looked pretty cool, too. This one looks like it tightens up the art style and the play style and everything. But yeah, it looks really cool. And I bet it would actually be a good game on the Steam Deck.
That's what I was thinking about, too.
That's one of the big things of the Steam Deck. It's great for those roguelike games.
Yeah. So I was looking it up and I came up with the term Metroidvania game, which is so cool because basically Metroidvania comes from the Metroid game and Castlevania, which I love that franchise too. Even though I will say I did have one of the Castlevania games for the Super Nintendo and it was okay. It just pissed the shit out of me because it was really, really hard.
Yeah.
But obviously I love the ones on the 64 and the PlayStation. But is it the same thing as a rogue?
Yeah. It's kind of a... I know that there's a few games that people say Metroidvania. I think Blasphemous was a game that had a dark setting to it, dark characters, dark themes. But it's just kind of a genre of games that fit that playstyle of the side-scrolling and, you know, the obstacles, jumping around, hitting enemies.
Yeah, this one is definitely one that I would love to get for the Steam Deck. So
yeah.
I'd also be curious to look at the older game since this is like the fifth installment. So that's cool. All right. The next game is Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. This one's coming out on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, the Switch, and the PC on January 18th, which I still forget that they're still making games for the PS4.
Yeah.
And the Switch even, to be honest.
PS4 is kind of on its last legs with the new games. I think that I might be wrong about this, but I think that they're stopping coming out with new games on PS4 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Switch,
they're,
I mean, with the Switch 2 rumored to be coming out this year, they might still be coming out with games on the regular Switch for maybe another year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll be curious about that.
I know, seriously. So with this game, dash into a stylish and thrilling action-adventure platformer set in a mythological Persian world where the boundaries of time and space are yours to manipulate. Play as Sargon and evolve from sword-wielding prodigy to extraordinary legend as you master acrobatic combat and unlock new time powers and unique super abilities. So this is another one, how did you call it, roguelike?
Yeah, roguelike game where it's kind of side-scrolling, jumping around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like, it goes from that to cutscenes. It's like, you know,
yeah,
the storytelling a bit. So it looks interesting. I know I've heard about this franchise, but I've never played any of the games. It looks all right. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks all right. I've never really been too deep into the Prince of Persia franchise. I played one. I think it was called Sands of Time, and that one came out early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think that was like literally the last installment of this.
I think they came out with some other Prince of Persia games between then and now. I mean, Sands of Time, I think, was a really big title, and from what I remember, I think the movie, that Prince of Persia movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, was based off of the story from Sands of Time.
Oh, interesting.
Which got pretty
bad reviews.
Yeah, I never saw it.
No, me either.
But I remember thinking, too, at the time,
Jake Gyllenhaal, huh? Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's the it guy at the time. So, you know, if they came out with a Prince of Persia now, it might have been Tom Holland or something. But
which we're talking about this, but I think Jake Gyllenhaal would be great as Alan Wake.
Yes.
Him or Jared Leto.
Yes. I mean, I think that Jake Gyllenhaal would be a good Alan Wake. Jared Leto, I don't think he would be bad. I would be very interested to see him play it.
Or like saying, you think he'd get the voice. So maybe do like, just like in the video game.
Oh yeah.
Have Jake Gyllenhaal do the like physical acting and then do Jared Leto.
Jared
like,
Leto voiceover. As the voiceover. Yeah. And you know, the thing with Jared Leto, I still remember whenever the Suicide Squad movie came out. Before it came out, I saw the previews of Jared Leto playing the Joker. Or actually, I shouldn't say that. I remember hearing that Jared Leto was going to play the Joker. And I know that a lot of my friends were poo-pooing on the idea.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it could be good. It could be really good. I'm actually excited because at the time.
Think about it.
But it could have been good. And, you know, I know that we have differing opinions on Jared Leto's Joker.
I loved it.
I don't think you need a tattoo that says deranged for people to know that you're
deranged. To get your point, yeah. I know, but I just wish that he would have gotten more screen time. I wish he would have gotten a chance. I really feel like he didn't get a fair chance. That's just my own personal opinion. I know people hate it, and I understand why. I just wanted him to have a chance, and I think it would have been a cool version of it. But I'm also kind of like one of those Hot Topic thoughts, so that
you know, I think that's what they were going for.
I'm like, yes, I like
he. He to me, like, he just kind of seems like the SoundCloud rapper version of Joker, like the Tekashi 6ix9ine Joker.
Yeah, I think it's if he would do more like Skrillex type music instead of rapping, but yeah.
I don't know. He seems like a modern gangster version of the Joker, which I get it. You kind of have to adapt the characters for the times that they're in just to make them a little bit more relevant to the younger audience and everything. But I don't know if the direction, in my opinion, I don't think the direction that they were going with this Joker was it. I agree, though. I think that they should have given him more screen time. They should have hashed out his character a little bit more. I think in the original version of the movie, or what they were planning on, was giving him more screen time, but that movie was just a chopped up mess when it finally came to theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
yes.
I love how he went from Prince of Persia to Jared Leto's Joker. But my final thoughts on Jared Leto, he might be a very eccentric person, maybe annoying to a lot of people. I thought he did a great job in Requiem for a Dream. He did an okay job in Blade Runner 2049. I don't think he's a terrible actor. I think his methods are a little weird and, like I said, annoying to some people that he might be on set with. But if I hear Jared Leto's going to be in a movie, I don't automatically poo-poo on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Morbius was great.
It's Morbin time. Yeah. But yeah, Prince of Persia looks cool. I don't know that I get it just because I'm not, you know, familiar with it or anything, but the play style looks pretty cool.
It looks, yeah, I think it looks all right. Ubisoft has an interesting track record. I mean, it's had an interesting last year and everything.
You said Ubisoft? I say Ubisoft. I don't know. I'm whichever, sure you're right. I'm sure.
It's whatever you want to say. The company.
I just thought that was interesting because every time I hear it in my head or when I say it, I always say Ubisoft.
I kind of go back and forth between Ubisoft and Ubisoft.
Yeah.
And I think this will be an okay game. I don't think it'll be groundbreaking. I don't think people are going to be talking about it for, a couple months. You know, I don't think it's going to have a lasting impact. But I could be wrong. It just seems like it's one of those games where they just push it out.
Just kind of milling it.
Yeah.
Just to keep it alive, basically.
Yeah.
I just also don't know, like, if their storyline, if it's all connected or if it's, like, kind of like Final Fantasy where, like, every installment is its own, like, universe of it and you move on, you know? I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure either. I'm sure there's connection points probably through each of the games. But how strong those connection points are, I don't know.
Yeah. So moving on to the next game, this one looks super fun. It's called Turnip Boy Robs a Bank, and it's coming out on the Xbox Series XS, Xbox One, Switch, and the PC on January 18th. Turnip Boy is back. This time he's teaming up with the fearsome Pickled Gang to plan and execute the weirdest heist of all time. Shake down hostages, steal precious valuables, battle the fuzz, and use wacky tools bought off the dark web to move further into the vaults of the botanical bank. This game is so cute. The music was really good on the trailers. The pixel animation, again, it's really fun. And I just think the artwork is super cute. I think this one would be good on the Steam Deck, too.
I think so, too. And, you know, in fact, I remember seeing the first game, installment, when I go onto the Steam store on my Steam Deck, it has a subsection of the store where it's great on deck. And I remember seeing Turnip Boy commits tax evasion as one of the ones that was great. And, you know, I always kind of scrolled past it. But after we were looking into this, I went back and looked at the trailer for Turnip Boy commits tax evasion.
Is that seriously the name of
That's
it?
That's the name
oh
of
my
it.
God.
And I.
That's awesome.
It's $5 right now. I bought it and I am going to play it, and it looks funny as hell.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it looks like one of those games where you could kind of turn your brain off and just play it with other stuff going on. And
hey Nico, hook it up. I'll be able to play it once you're done with it, right?
Maybe.
Because we're sharing our libraries.
Are we though? Because I don't see your games.
Well, you should.
Do you see my games in your library?
Yes.
Okay, then I guess you can play it.
Yay.
Yay.
No, but yeah, sorry.
No. Yeah, I think it looks fun. I think it looks like a pretty wacky, silly game. The names of the games are enough for me. And the trailers make it look amazing. I think that the Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, the reviews for that game are actually pretty good. So, I think it's worth a buy.
See, it's funny because to me, like, I mean, it does make sense, the titles, but at first glance, I would have been like, Rob's Bank would have been first, and then Commits Tax Evasion would have been the second one, because
he's starting off, you know, white collar, and then he's just he's just really
ties are tough, you know.
He's getting a taste for crime, so then he just starts moving to the extremes of robbing a bank.
Yeah. What should be the next one? Turnip Boy has a private plane and flies people into his private island.
I was going to say. Turnip Boy turns up on Epstein's island.
That's awesome. Turn up for what?
Turn down for jail time. I mean, if he's if he's not connected enough, he'll face jail time.
The baby carrots.
Oh,
poor
no.
baby carrots.
Oh, no. You might have to cut this out. Cut it out. Leave it in. We'll be right back. No. We're going to keep it right here.
Stop. I'm tired. Oh my gosh, quick side note. We've been watching a lot of Dr. Phil, quote unquote. Adam Ray does this like really awesome just bits of him in like Dr. Phil getup with a bald cap and everything. It looks really great. It's just so freaking good. And I don't know. It's just amazing.
It is. And he just manages to stay in character
the whole time. It's insane.
And it's amazing. I just got to check out more of his stuff because I feel like we've just been going down this Dr. Phil, Adam Ray rabbit hole. But he's got some other stuff and he's been around for a while. So
yeah,
got to check out more of his stuff.
Yeah. Great. We'll be right back.
We'll keep it right here.
All right, let's keep it right here. Move on to the next game. It's Another Code Recollection, and it's coming out on the Switch on January 19th. So it's a remaster of this game. It came out in 2005. And they're also, the second part was never released in North America. So, yeah. Help Ashley, Mizuki, Robin solve riddles, gather clues, and investigate the traces of the past to uncover the true fates of her parents. This game looks really interesting. The art style is really interesting. You know, looks like an anime pretty much. And it gives me Resident Evil vibes because they go to this place called Edward Mansion on this island. Like, it just reminds me of Code Veronica / Resident Evil, the first game. But first of all, she's 14 years old. Who is letting this kid go by herself to this island?
Well, I mean, wasn't it to go find her dad or something?
But you still wouldn't. I still wouldn't let my like little brother, you know, what, back in the day when he was...
Maybe she's a street kid.
No.
She's a stowaway on the ship.
Yeah. Like, she goes in with her aunt who had custody of her, and the aunt's like, all right, you'll find the answers when you find him.
Maybe Good the luck. Aunt really doesn't like her.
Maybe. She's Maybe like, that's I'm just tired like, of, yeah. I'm tired of, you know, fatty pork every month for these bitch. Like, you gotta
Times
go.
Is tough. This bitch needs to strike out on her own.
God, I was just going to say, she's the first person in Turnip Island over here. Turnip for what?
Turnip for what?
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to hell. I'm sorry. it looks interesting. It looks really cool, I will say. Also, the puzzles and the riddles and all that stuff, very much Resident Evil vibes.
Yeah.
It's like these little cute little puzzles that like they'll say like a riddle and you have to like figure out and move stuff around. It's just very much Resident Evil, so that's kind of cool. There's a little ghost in there and you have to help them remember who they are too. And then she even plays a freaking piano just like Jill for like one of the puzzles. So it looks really cool, actually. So I think it'd be a good one for, obviously, the Switch. I was going to say for the Steam Deck, but it's not coming out on the, you know, for a PC or anything. So, but yeah, I think it looks cool. It looks interesting.
Yeah. I think the art, I like the style of it. I like how mm-hmm. they remastered it. I remember seeing the DS game in stores. Never got it, but I remember seeing the box art of it, and it looked interesting.
I saw a picture of the artwork from when it came out, and mm-hmm. you could definitely tell times were different because she was wearing like a crop top and like some like low rise jeans, like a 13-year-old wearing that, which, okay, whatever. But now she's wearing like a hoodie, I think, you know, mm-hmm. and so that was different.
Yep. I think it looks interesting. I probably wouldn't buy it. But mm-hmm. I was looking on Reddit, and when this was announced in the Nintendo Direct, people were pretty excited about it. I think it looks fine.
It's aight.
It's aight. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. All right. So the next game is The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, and it's coming out exclusively on PlayStation 5 on January 19th. 5 years after their dangerous journey across the post-pandemic United States, Ellie and Joel have settled down in Jackson, Wyoming. Living amongst a thriving community of survivors has allowed them peace and stability, despite the constant threat of the infected and other more desperate survivors. When a violent event disrupts that peace, Ellie embarks on a relentless journey to carry out justice and find closure. So, I still haven't played even the first game. So we started the first game, right? I think we only got like 30 minutes of gameplay down. Yeah. I started getting so dizzy. I don't know why. But I think if I'm actually playing it, it's not as bad.
I think it's you're just like, very susceptible to motion sickness.
I am. And I just don't remember being that way because Dead Island was doing that for me too. Yeah. I started getting a headache. I have to turn off the motion blur.
The motion blur, yeah. Which I get it. I think it's a lot of, I think most of the game publishers now, they have it on as default. It's an option. You can turn it off, but they have it on as default. And from my limited knowledge about it, I believe that the reason why they have it on is because the performance with it on is better with it off.
I'm sure it makes sense, yeah.
But people that are susceptible to motion sickness, it's not great for them. So a lot of people say, yeah, if you're suffering from this, go into the settings, turn it off. And that's what we've done for a lot of our games. But The Last of Us Part 1, I remember getting this game on the PlayStation 3 when it came out. And it was amazing. Naughty Dog is a really great studio when it comes to creating movies that are actually games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Uncharted series was great. Last of Us Part 1 was great. I loved it. The whole, the polypip or something like that. The fungus that...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The mold.
The infected, yeah.
Yeah, it infects their brain and everything. And it's based off of a real life thing.
Oh, terrifying.
And it's just a cool concept.
Yeah.
And they did the whole zombie thing in a new direction.
Yeah.
That I think in the time, zombies were everywhere. Like the zombie genre was just very saturated. And they had this new approach to it.
For sure. The approach was really, it's interesting. Like, I definitely want to play it. It very much focuses more on the story of the character surviving through this versus, and that's not to like knock on Resident Evil, because I love Resident Evil. But Resident Evil definitely, there is a storyline, but a lot of the gameplay involves like the mechanics of it. You know, I feel like it focuses more on the action aspect of it.
That's what I was going to say.
And the puzzles and stuff like that versus this one seems definitely more story character focused.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's less of an action game, I think, than Resident Evil. Less fast-paced,
mm-hmm.
like Resident Evil can be. When I say fast-paced, I go from 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the second part of The Last of Us, The Last of Us Part 2 came out, I never played it, but I remember that there was a lot of controversy about it, and...
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go into all of the controversy. Some of it was kind of dumb. Some of it had valid points. And some of the valid points involved spoilers if you've never actually played the game. I can see where those come into play. But it's a very divisive game. And you either hate it or you love it. I've seen some people saying that it's one of the best games they've ever played. It's better even than the first one. And then some other people said that just Naughty Dog dropped the ball. They took too many risks. It didn't pan out for them.
Hmm.
I don't know if I'll ever get around to playing it because, I mean, we still have to get through the first one, the both of us.
Yeah.
And the way that our track record goes with getting through games, it might be 5 years down the line.
Maybe we could schedule it for like October of this year sometime.
Maybe. We'll see if we can squeeze it in.
Yeah.
But... I'm hoping that, you know, controversy aside and all that, I hope that when this game comes out on PC, it's more optimized for it than The Last of Us Part 1.
Oh, yeah.
That was, for the PC crowd, it was more of a controversy. From what I remember, it ran pretty well on PlayStation 5, but
it baffles my mind.
Yeah.
You bring that up about the whole optimization thing. So I'm like, is the PlayStation technically a super fucking powerful computer then?
No,
like,
it's just the PlayStation is one set of hardware that these game developers know back and forward. They just they know it. Whereas PC, there's so many different configurations that you can have.
Yeah.
So and so many different variables.
Yeah.
It's a little harder for them to optimize it, especially in all the different combinations you can build.
Totally
it
makes sense. But
also it's become a trend too, because there are games that come out on the PlayStation that run fine, come out on PC just terrible. And no matter if you have, you know, an RTX 4090 and you have like the $5,000
nerd speak over here.
Sweaty nerd basement dweller coming out. But, you know, you could have some rig, some PC that cost you $5,000 and you're going to get worse performance on it than a $500 PlayStation.
That's wild. That's what's crazy.
Yeah.
To me,
and, you know, you get this PC because you're expecting like a better performance out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping, like I said, that this game, they take it into consideration that just put more time into it. Put more time into testing it out. And I understand that you kind of have to have a trial period when you first publish it for people to report bugs and all that stuff, because mm-hmm. you can only do so much testing behind the scenes. But The Last of Us Part 1, when it came out, it was bad. And the same thing with the Jedi Survivor game, I think it was called. It's just a reoccurring theme that keeps happening with these. But I'm sure it'll be fine on PlayStation 5. And I'm sure that, you know, the people that loved this game when it came out originally are probably going to love it when it comes out on PS5. Mm-hmm. The Last of Us Part 1, when I was playing it on PS5, it was a definite upgrade in graphics and everything. And I know that this is probably like the second remaster, because they did a remaster for PS4 and it looked better. But yeah, that's my rant.
That's your two cents.
That's my very long-winded, just, you know, short-pointed rant on the optimization and this game that I've never played.
Nerd alert. Yeah. No, yeah, we definitely need to play it, the first one. But yeah, it just seems also like a long trek, kind of like what we were saying about Alan Wake. It's just like a process.
It's a process. Last of Us is definitely a longer game than Alan Wake, which, I mean, that's another one of those games on our list to get through. So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Lots to look forward to. So the next game is Howl, and this one's coming out PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS on January 23rd. Howl is a turn-based tactical folktale set in medieval times. A sinister howling plague has ravaged the land, turning all who hear it into feral beasts. You play as a deaf heroine plunging into danger in search of a cure. So this one's really interesting. It gives me, I was saying, what a twist, because it gives me, it reminds me of The Village for some reason.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not like that. It's just like, you know.
It's woodsy. Yeah. And the main person is wearing like a trench coat.
Yeah, like and, a hooded, yeah, hooded trench coat, just like that. So yeah, it reminded me of that. But, you know, and then the village, the main person, she's blind and there's like this beast type thing that she faces. But yeah, this one, I guess she's deaf and that's why she's immune to like the howling.
Yeah.
So it looks really interesting. It's like kind of like a strategic type of game. And I like the trailer. I just like how like they were doing a little voiceover of it. It looks like it'd be cool too for like we were saying, like the Steam Deck and stuff like that. But I think it's also, yeah, it's also coming on the PC as well.
Well, actually, so. This game came out in November 14th of last year on Steam.
Oh, gotcha.
But, I mean, it really doesn't have a whole lot of reviews on Steam. I mean, it came out in November, but it's only got 21 reviews. But it's positive reviews. I think the coolest thing about this is the art style of it.
Yeah.
It's just that hand-drawn looking art style. And, you know, I do like those turn-based kind of games, and that's what this is.
See, I like how they explain it though, because I was reading about it, and it's like they say like she has like these prophecy type of powers, right? So that's how they explain the whole turn-based thing. Like she can see how moves are gonna pan out, and then you can do it, or you know, whatever. I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, no.
turn-based for me are hit or miss. Like Pokemon, I'm totally fine with it. You know,
yeah.
But other stuff, well, like Final Fantasy, I definitely would prefer Final Fantasy, like the new ones where it's
more action oriented.
Love that. So yeah.
Yeah, I can see where it kind of turns into basically the menu game where all you're doing is scrolling through menus.
Yes.
And waiting for an attack.
What are we doing?
It's
Excel
the game.
Go to a restaurant here or what?
Yeah. I get that. I grew up with turn-based games and Final Fantasy games. And some of them, yeah, it can definitely seem like a chore getting through the battle systems, especially when you have the random encounters all the time and you just want to get through the story. It's nice that this game actually explains the system, so it's not just a well, here it is. You've experienced it so many times before. Just take it as is. It explains why you're going through this system, because there's a prophecy of the moves that they're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, it looks pretty cool. It is verified for Steam Deck, so.
Get it.
Yeah. But all of the people on the consoles will be able to enjoy this game pretty soon.
Yes, all the peasants.
I did not say that.
I did.
Wow. Wow.
Just. Uh-huh. So, no, yeah, it looks really cool. It also reminds me of, I think I brought it up before with D. Did you ever play that game called Kingdom of Loathing, KOL?
No.
It's a web-based, everything is hand-drawn, like little stick figures. It's still going on, so I thought that was super cool. But yeah, I remember playing this back in the day, like early 2004, 2005, and... Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that, except this one obviously has color, like, you know, it's really pretty and stuff, like, kind of like water painting, but yeah, it's really cute, so.
Yeah, no, it looks cool. I think it'd probably be worth a look. I mean, this might be one of those games that definitely goes on sale on Steam. I don't know about other platforms like
this
PlayStation.
What's so great about the Steam Deck is like all the sales and everything.
Oh, the sales on Steam beat the sales on PlayStation and Xbox.
And what sales in Nintendo? They don't know what the word sale means.
Well, they do on the third-party publishers. When it comes to Nintendo published games,
that's, I mean.
That's a different story. Yeah. They have sales a lot on the indie games on there. It's just their online service just kind of still sucks, and Nintendo's stuck in yesteryear of, you know...
It's vintage business, okay?
That's true. That's true. It adds charm. It's part of their character.
Yeah.
I feel like this entire podcast is just becoming a gush fest over Steam, over like consoles and shit. Although, I mean, I will say, I did give a nod to PlayStation for The Last of Us Part 1, where it ran pretty well and it sucked on PC, so.
So, yeah. I know. It has nothing to do with me just getting a Steam Deck and, you know... being all excited about
nothing like it.
So moving on, the next game is Apollo Justice Ace Attorney Trilogy. It's coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, the Switch, and the PC on January 25th. Join rookie attorney Apollo Justice and his mentor, the legendary Phoenix Wright, in this collection of three games. This title features the 14 episodes of Apollo Justice Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Dual Destinies, and Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Spirit of Justice. This game, it just reminds me of back in the day, all the memes of it on the internet, like on 4chan and everything.
Yeah.
And it looked really fun, and I saw you play it a while back. You were playing it, actually.
Phoenix Wright.
Yes, the Phoenix version, Wright. Sorry, not the Apollo Justice, but, I mean, you know, same thing. The art style is the same.
It's the same universe, so, all that stuff. Yeah, same style.
So, it looks really fun.
It does. Yeah. And the little bit that I played of the Phoenix Wright games, it was fun. It's the same thing as you. I saw all these memes on the internet. I knew of the franchise because of these things, and I'd never play the game, but there is this group called Turnabout Jazz Soul, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of music from the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney series.
Cool.
And I would just listen to it. It was just,
it
was
good
music.
Yeah.
And never played the games, but it seems like it's a really cool franchise.
It does,
if you really
love
those wacky murder mystery kind of scenarios.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm really surprised I haven't gotten into it earlier, because I like that type of stuff, like being a detective kind of, and like. It's just, I like it, so.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, obviously a lot of people have played it for it to be a meme on the internet. I'm sure that, you know, some of the people listening now, like, you're just talking about this and you just played it. This franchise has been out for a while.
It has,
And this is just a collection of some older games from that franchise, but it's another one on the list of things to get to.
For sure, because it used to be like that... the JoJo's Bizarre World type of vibe.
Just kind of the over the top.
Yes, it's so over the top, but I love it. It just tickles me in a really good way. Okay.
Yeah.
So I really like it. And it'd be another good one for the Steam Deck. I'm just saying.
It probably would, yeah.
So moving on to the next one, it's Tekken 8, and it's coming out on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and the PC on January 26th. Tekken 8 continues the tragic saga of the Mishima bloodline in its world-shaking father and son grudge matches. This latest saga begins with Jin Kazama facing off against Kazuya Mishima in a city-shattering face-to-face showdown. So, oh my gosh, this game, it brings me back to the day when I used to go to this arcade we had in town. It was old and dingy, but it was like the spot for people our age at the time, and it was just awesome. But yeah, I've always liked this game. I also remember having it for the PlayStation at one point. I don't remember which number it was at the time.
Was it Tekken Tag?
I don't know. I don't think it was Tag.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
That was my jam back in the day. I loved Tekken Tag. I stole it from my brother and I scratched up the CD, and he was not happy.
Wow.
Or maybe he never found out about it. I don't know. If you're listening.
You said you scratched.
Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
So you said you scratched the shit out of it?
Yeah, because I was a little irresponsible with putting CDs back into the case.
Yeah, I get it.
And yeah, that was definitely one of them. And I played the shit out of Tekken Tag and the other Tekkens. I remember playing them in the arcade, but mostly on PlayStation with my friends. And my favorite character was Yoshimitsu. Basically, this weird-looking samurai dude. And he had this move where he could do like this helicopter move where he'd start spinning his arm and his blade would just become the helicopter rotor thing. Uh-huh. And he would just land on somebody, do this downward, I wouldn't say downward thrust, but he just sliced down and hit somebody. And there was this really powerful move where you would stab yourself in the stomach and the blade would go through you and into the other person if you timed it just right. You'd take off a shit ton of your health, but it was kind of a high risk, high reward scenario.
I was going to say, this is really counterproductive, but you know.
It worked though. If you could pull it off, you were amazing. And it just remember, Tekken had some pretty interesting characters. He had
the giant panda bear. Yeah.
There was a bear and there was a panda bear. There was King, who I'm pretty sure his name was King, where he has the tiger head.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was just so wacky. And I mean, obviously, I just remember playing with just the girl characters, mainly, to be honest. But it was an interesting, like, cast or, you know, roster of characters for sure.
Yeah. And I feel bad because talking about this game, 8 installments in, I don't know any of their backstories.
Same. I don't know their names. I don't know the backstories. So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't really know there was a big backstory, to be honest. Kind of like there is with Mortal Kombat and even
Street Fighter.
Yeah. So that's interesting for sure. But yeah, I was looking at the artwork and I'm like, dude, that hair though, like, it was just like that Jimmy Neutron hairstyle over there.
Oh, for Jin, the main guy?
Yeah, the main two people. I think it was just his dad. I'm like, what are we doing
here? Hey, that's been the hairstyle for a long time. I remember that.
Gosh, I'm like, geez Louise. Like, wow. They're just, it's wild. It's wild.
It's wild, but you know, they got to have the wacky designs. And it looks like this game's going to be good if you're into the whole fighting game genre.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. Another good installment. It looks like it offers a lot of customization.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be as good as Street Fighter, where you could create your own character with a lot of options and how to do so. But you can add new skins to your characters, new outfits. It looks like they have this version of creating your own character, but it's like, it just kind of reminds me of the Nintendo Wii Mii style of creating your own character, and you go into an arcade or something and play these games. But I don't know how cutthroat and how diehard the fans are for Tekken. I'd never really go into the Tekken sphere anymore.
No, me
so
either, yeah.
I'm sure that the Tekken fans will probably love it.
For sure. I mean, I'll definitely play it in an arcade if we go to one and it's there.
Yeah.
So the next one is Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, and it's coming out on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the PC on January 26th. Two larger-than-life heroes, Ichiban Kasuga and Kazuma Kiryu, are brought together by the hand of fate, or perhaps something more sinister, live it up in Japan, and explore all that Hawaii has to offer in an RPG adventure so big it spans the Pacific. What the fuck would this game do? Like, I was watching the trailers and I was like, oh my god, it's a game within a game within a game within a game within a game. And it looks so weird, but it looks so cool at the same time.
Yeah. Watching the trailer, I'm like, this is going to be one of those kind of larger than life. The Yakuza series, I've always wanted to get into it. I've just been intimidated by the amount of games and where to actually start in the series. Some people said that the first Like a Dragon game is a good place to start, or I think there's Yakuza Zero. I really want to get into it.
Yeah.
It seems fun. I know that they're probably not the same, but when I look at it, it kind of gives me vibes of this other game that I played back on Xbox, Shenmue 2. You were a person that was walking through Japan and you had all these weird encounters. It was a very slow moving game, but you could play these cool arcade games in there too.
Yeah, you can do stuff like that in this one too.
Yeah.
Remember I was telling you that it's really interesting because there's like this main story arc that's really serious. And then in between, there's all these shenanigans and weird things you can do.
Yeah.
So it's wild.
Yeah.
But it gave me vibes of like GTA. You're walking around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you can do. I mean, but it just looks like you can do a lot of different things. There's like a game in there where it's like crazy taxi, but you're a food delivery person like DoorDash. And it's just so wild. When you get there, you just hand them the burger and they're like, yeah, and you just see like this burger emoji thing. And it's just so wacky. And
it
I love
is.
It.
And
I love it.
Karaoke stuff.
Yeah,
and
you
all
can do
that.
Karaoke on there. Like you can go date people on there like Tinder or something. It's
yeah.
just wild. It's so wild.
Yeah, it's a lot of different stuff in there. Yeah, I think that one of these years I maybe try to get into the Yakuza series. I don't think I'll ever get through all of those games because there's a ton of them, but it looks really cool. I'm sure a lot of people that are fans of the franchise are looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a pretty decent month for games coming out. Coming off the heels of last year, it was a pretty good year for games.
Oh yeah,
pretty
last
good
year for sure. So many games that we still have to play all those games.
Yeah, like, I mean, Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to play that one too.
Yeah,
so.
And yeah, there's like some other smaller games like Hi-Fi Rush that was pretty cool.
Yes, I want to play that one too. I would call it a Jet Set Radio.
Oh basically. No, that was.
You're right.
Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the unofficial spiritual successor to Jet Set Radio.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool.
It does. I want to play that one so bad.
I know. But Hi-Fi Rush was this one where you defeat enemies to the rhythm of the game. And it's got a pretty cool art style, pretty good music from what I've heard. And it just looks like an interesting concept.
Yeah, no, that Hi-Fi one looks really cool too. I also have to play, as big of a Zelda fan as I am, I still haven't played Breath of the Wild or, you know,
yeah,
the second one, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
So I will play those. And I also haven't played a lot of the classic games on the 64. I really, really, this year, really want to play Twilight Princess because I think out of all of the 64 or GameCube versions of the, you know, reiterations of the Zelda franchise, I think that's the one that I'd be most interested in. I really like the art style of it. The theme seems darker. That's what everybody says too.
Yeah.
So I really want to play that one. Yeah, it's a confession time. As much of a Zelda fan as I am, my favorite one is A Link to the Past. I've been obsessed with Zelda ever since that game. And I just never really gotten a chance to play like Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask. So
yeah.
I want to play them. I do. It's just, you know.
There's just only so much time.
Yeah.
And I remember playing Ocarina of Time. I never finished Majora's Mask. I did beat Twilight Princess. I never played Wind Waker, which when that game came out, I was one of the people shitting all over it because we were promised one thing and got another. I was hard against the whole cel-shaded animation style.
Yeah,
and
same.
But, you know, I remember a lot of people shitting on the game when it came out, and they've kind of changed their tune as the years went on, saying that it was actually a pretty good game. I want to give that one a shot.
See, the thing is with the cell shading is that I remember telling you about it, like, that was the main thing that was throwing me off of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. But, like, Jet Set Radio has that. It's just, like, to me, the vibe of Zelda didn't mesh well with cell shading. I always thought, like, I think that's why I really want to play Twilight Princess, because that's, like, the kind of artwork that I associate with the Zelda franchise. I think that's perfectly embodies the vibe. And so cell shading is more like for games like Jet Set Radio that are, like, just really fun type of chill games. So I think that was the whole reason why I'm, like, so, you know, like, hesitation with it.
I kind of had similar thoughts when Breath of the Wild came out. The thing that I loved about it was you had this concept of it's Zelda meets Skyrim. You have this huge open world that you can explore. And to me, it seems like it's a hybrid between games like the actual 3D model version, like Twilight Princess. It's a hybrid between that and Wind Waker, where you have, it's not complete Wind Waker, it's not complete almost 2D, but I think it's a good compromise, and I think it was probably a performance thing where you have so much you can do with a Switch game, and if you want to have this wide open world, you have to make compromises with the graphics and the assets and all that stuff. So
I understand it. I really do. And I think I've been warming up to it when it comes to Zelda. Because like I said, I'm super open to it to other games. It was just specifically Zelda. Yeah. But I still want to play the games. So
yeah, I mean, I think you should. And might give your Switch some much needed love after, I don't know, a year, maybe?
A couple months ago, I picked it up for Animal Crossing.
Oh, okay.
So, because that's another game, like, I love Animal Crossing. I feel so guilty when I don't play it. Like, you know, when I go back in there, and I love that game. It's one of my favorite games, I think, for the Switch, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just a really good, cozy game. You can pick it up anytime you want. But yeah, no, for sure. I definitely need to give more attention to my Switch. It's just, you know, I got this shiny brand new Steam Deck that I also want to use. So it's just so much stuff.
There's so many. Yeah, there's so many games. And I've kind of come to the realization or the acceptance that all the games that I have for all of these different platforms, I'm never going to get through all of them.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm never going to get through never. All of them. No, because
it's a very negative mindset, Nico. We're not going to start the year that
I have 100 and something games. I realize that compared to other people's Steam libraries, it might seem that not that much, but I have like 100 and something titles on Steam. And I have a lot of games on Switch that I still haven't gone through. And not to mention, some of those games are RPGs and are JRPGs or, you know, whatever it's called now. The problem with those games is that the story is
very
time long.
Consuming. Okay, but you're talking about Final Fantasy titles, which are
not just
like
Final
unnecessarily
Fantasy.
Unnecessarily long.
I'm talking
it's
about
unnecessary behavior.
Square Enix titles, basically. Yes. Square Enix titles like Xenoblade Chronicles. Those games are long. I still have to finish the first Octopath Traveler.
I think I would like that turn-based game.
Yeah.
The artwork is so cute.
It's
the whole
awesome.
It's just so cute. I just love it.
Yeah, and I've been playing a demo of the Octopath Traveler too. And
I liked it. Whenever she steals something.
And that's one of the things with those games is that you keep hearing the same dialogue over and over and over again in the battles. And if you love the line, you might end up hating it because you've heard it like 700 times.
Oh my gosh. Like when you were really playing the first one, you were playing it a lot, and I would be sitting there also like playing Animal Crossing, whatever, but I just hear the oh my gosh, I just forgot it.
Out of my way.
Yes. Out of my way. Or where's the nearest tavern? Yeah, because you were playing
the thief. Yeah.
Guy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was so funny though. So funny. Yeah. And then I would just be out of my way.
Out of
just
my
randomly
way.
Randomly say it.
Yeah, and that's, I want to get into the second one because people had their gripes with the first one, and I could see where they had their gripes. You have all these different people that you can play through, but they
eight of them, right?
Yeah,
it's Octo. Yeah,
yeah, and they don't really tie them into each other's storyline in the best way that they could have.
Well, not all of us can be, you know, not all games can be like Resident Evil 6, you know, where you have all these storylines you really blend in together. I'm just saying. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
Move on.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. All right. And Ada's was the best, right?
I did not say that. Yep. I don't know where you come to these conclusions.
Poor Agent.
Or, well, Agent. Agent's line was the best because he had to put up with her shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was basically like the bait for everything.
Yeah. And I love how you had all the cutscenes and he would never be in any of them.
I know. That was so stupid. That was one of my gripes with that game. Like, I think it would have been so cool if AJ would have been like Hunk or something like that. Like someone, or like it happened to be Carlos or something like that. Would have
something
been so
notable.
Cool.
Yeah.
So cool. And maybe in the remake, that could be an option. I'm just saying.
When the remake
comes it out into the universe. Like, it's out there. It could be a thing. You know, in a couple of years when they come out with the remake. It's going to be great. I'm excited.
I'm curious to see if they do come out with a remake for 6, if the fans will love it more than what happened with, you know, the original one.
The thing is, it was loved. It was a really good selling game, but it did have, a lot of people complained about it. I get it. I totally do. My whole thing with it, I find it hilarious that the people that hate on it really loved 4, were like fanboys of Resident Evil 4. And I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Because it's literally about the same game, just a little bit better. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We can agree to disagree, but I'm just saying. So anyway.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, let's start off the year right.
We'll be right back.
we'll keep it right here. So we have a long list of games to get through. I really, really, really want to complete at least one game a month. I think we could totally knock out Dead Island this month if we really set our minds to it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got the motion control thing down. It just boggles my mind because I never had a problem with it on the Xbox or even earlier last year when we were playing it. I never had a problem with the motion. So it's just really weird. So,
yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, I want to finish Hogwarts this year. I really want to do
it. Same.
I think it might be good on the Steam Deck. I'm not sure.
Well, if you're going off of Steam's, games of the year, whatever their categories are, Hogwarts was rated the top Steam Deck game of the year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know if I agree with it, but I'm sure it's okay. You just kind of have to make some compromises with how the game runs.
And I'm okay with that. I feel like I'm more forgiving of game mechanics or things like that, like when it comes to like tank control and stuff like that. And yeah, visual performance versus you. Are very much an audiophile, visual file, like you know, has
I'm
to
a
be...
businessman with standards.
Oh, I know. Okay. So, yeah, I'm definitely more forgiving about certain things like that, so...
Yeah, I'm sure it'll run fine. It might have some performance dips and everything, but I think since it's actually verified for the Steam Deck, you can find some good settings to make it run pretty smoothly.
Make it enough.
Yeah.
Oh man, so this month, January, we have some really cool games. I mean, there's definitely a lot more games that we didn't talk about. Like, there was this rugby game, but that's just because I'm not the biggest fan of, like, sports games, so...
Yeah, you took one look at me, you'd probably say, like, man, he's not a sports fan.
And likewise, you look, you know, you did the same thing for me. I like sports, I just don't, not the biggest fan of, like, playing video games, sports. But that Momodora game... Oh, I definitely want to get that one. It looks really fun. And that Turnip Boy game looks so fun. Yeah. So definitely want to play those games. But yeah, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, X, Instagram, TikTok, and our website, theallyrambles.com is up. And all the links are in the show notes. So check them out and be a pal. And you can also give the podcast a 5-star rating if you like. If you enjoy it, yeah. Do it.
Don't even think about it. Just do it.
Just do it. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode. Until our next transmission, toodaloo, fellow rebels.
Toodles.
Turn up for what?
Turn up for what?
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to hell.